Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter number 5, entitled Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, Text number 19. Naitas Chitram Tvai Shatar Vadaraya Naviyaje Bhavena Yatvaya Harivishvaraha. Word for word, please repeat. Na?
Never.
Etat? Such inquiries. Chitram?
Very wonderful.
Tvai?
In you.
Chattaha? O
Vidura?
Badarayana? Of Vyasadeva. Virya Jay, born from the semen. Grihitaha, accepted. Ananya Bhavena, without deviation from thought.
Yat,
because.
Tvaya,
by you.
Hari,
the personality of Godhead.
Ishvaraha,
the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. O Vidura, translation. O Vidura, it is not at all wonderful that you have so accepted the Lord without deviation of thought. For you were born from the semen of Vyasadeva. Purport. The value of great parentage and noble birth is evaluated here in connection with the birth of Vidura. The culture of a human being begins when the father invests his semen in the womb of the mother. According to his status of work, a living entity is placed in a particular father's semen. And because Vidura was not an ordinary living entity, he was given the chance to be born from the semen of Vyas. The birth of a human being is a great science, and therefore, reformation of the act of impregnation, according to the Vedic ritual called Garbhadhan Samskar, is very important for generating good population. The problem is not to check the growth of the population, but to generate good population on the level of Vidura, Vyas and Maitreya. There is no need to check the growth of population if the children are born as human beings, with all precautions regarding their birth. So-called birth control is not only vicious, but also useless. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here in the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, conception is being described. So one might wonder why such a mundane act of conception is being described in this most sacred literature, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So conception is being described because it is in relationship to Krishna. As it is, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dharma viruddhu bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. I am that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. So here we see that, here we are seeing the birth of Vidura, Maitreya. He is glorifying the birth of Vidura. So Vidura's father is Vyasadeva. So he is coming from a very great parentage. And because he's coming from such a great parentage, he's able to remember the Lord without any deviation. So here we see the value of noble births, of great parentage. So Vyasadeva is not an ordinary person, as we know. Vyasadeva is the literary incarnation of Godhead. So Vyasadeva is the incarnation who compiled all the Vedic scriptures. So in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see Vyasadeva was, he was not satisfied to see the condition of the people of Kali Yuga who were to come. He could foresee the condition of people of Kali Yuga. So out of compassion, he compiled the four Vedas, he compiled the Mahabharata, he compiled the Upanishads and so many texts, and he even compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam on the order of his spiritual master Narada Muni. So this is Vyasadev. And Vyasadev, he conceived Pandu, Dhritarashtra and Vidura. So Vidura is none other than Yamaraj. Because Yamaraj, he was cursed by Manduka Muni to take birth as a Shudra, in the womb of a Shudra woman. So therefore, Yamaraj, he took birth in the womb of a Shudra woman. And he was conceived by Vyasadeva. So Yamaraj came as Vidura. And Yamaraj is a great devotee of the Lord. He's actually one of the 12 Mahajans, Yamaraj. So, and because of his pure consciousness, he took birth in a high parentage. So this is the science of conception. Srila Prabhupada is saying here that the birth of a human being is a great science. So this is the science, how to give birth to good children. This is a great science. And this science has been lost at this point of time. So we see that currently people beget children like cats and dogs. And if we... Or like animals, basically. So most of the time, these days, maybe in the West, children are conceived on a Saturday night in the back of a car or after coming from the pub. So people are unable to control their senses and they engage in so many lusty activities. And the result of that is unplanned conception. So we see a lot of the time that's how people are conceived. And therefore, there's no peace in society. Therefore, the population being produced is not of good quality. So this was also Arjuna's concern. So in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, one of the reasons Arjuna gave not to fight the war was that the women will become polluted, because everyone was, the whole world, that was a world war. The Battle of Kurukshetra was a world war. So the kings from all over the world, they took sides, some with the Pandavas and some with the Kauravas. So all types of people were there. Sons, grandsons, fathers, teachers, uncles. Everyone was there. So Krishna told Arjuna that he didn't want to fight the battle, because if all these men will be killed, then who will perform the family traditions? Arjuna said. Because when everyone will be slain, who will perform these various family traditions? Meaning, who will perform the various samskaras? So, in a civilized society, there is performance of samskaras. As here is mentioned, the Garbhadhan samskara. There are 16 samskaras, roughly. So, in a civilized society, these samskaras are performed to create good impressions, and so that one ultimately takes to spiritual life and doesn't come on the animal platform. So Arjuna was telling Krishna that if everyone will be killed, then who will perform the various family traditions? And if there's no family traditions, the women will become polluted, meaning the consciousness will get polluted. And when women will get polluted, then that will result in unwanted progeny, or Varna Shankara. And Varna Shankara will be the cause of all kinds of devastation of all kinds of social welfare projects. So this is such an important science, how children are conceived, because that has very widespread implications. Because the family unit is the bedrock of human society. And if that is polluted, then what comes out will also be polluted. And therefore we see the state of modern civilization. There are so many problems because the children who are being born are extremely polluted. They don't know anything else except from eating, sleeping, mating and defending. They are totally on the animal platform. And if we study animals, sometimes I go for a walk around the lake. And there's so many types of birds and ducks. There's so many ducks there. And if you just look at the ducks, they're just, you know, sitting there. And then they're looking for food after some time. And then with their family, they go in the water and they come out. And they talk to each other. And this is how they pass their whole life. Day after day. Eating, then they're sleeping. Some are sleeping on the water with their, you know, head tucked in. And they're floating on the water, but they're sleeping. And some are sleeping on the land. And the mating we don't see. And then there's the defending. And they're fighting with each other. So this is what people are also doing. You know, this is what human beings are also doing in a much more sophisticated way. They get together in relationships. They play sports. Have some friends. But it's just the whole thing is meaningless. And it's such a boring life. And there is no higher knowledge. And that's because there is no knowledge being dispersed in human society of higher values. So traditionally this would begin right from the point of conception. So the first samskara of a human being was the garbhadhan samskara, which the parents would perform in order to beget a nice child. And then they were sent to Gurukul and they were given higher education in this way. They will learn how to develop character, sense control and Krishna conscious knowledge. But today all this is lacking. And these days also, like, people think they want to beget good children, but their idea of begetting good population is simply to alter the genetic traits of a person. So mankind today, they think if they alter the genetic traits, they can beget good population. So we see, like, this has been witnessed in history a lot. There was the eugenics movement, in which this was started in America. And it was actually Francis Galton, who was the cousin of Charles Darwin. He started the eugenics. So it's a Greek word, eugene. So EU means good, and genes means race. So it basically stands for good race. So this eugenics movement was started by Francis Galton. And then it was widely propagated in the United States, and then it went spread all over Europe, and it was a very, very widely accepted movement in which the idea was to produce good population by altering the genetic traits, by promotion of reproduction of those human beings who have good genetic traits. So to increase their reproduction, those who are very, you know, healthy physically or, you know, very strong mentally. People who were considered superior, they were encouraged to procreate a lot. And those who were considered inferior, they were forced to not to reproduce so much. Or they were segregated. Sterilized. Thank you. They were sterilized. And when it was taken very far ahead, like the Nazis did it, they were exterminated. So there was wide-scale genocide, there was social isolation. And in this way, the basic principle was to produce good population. And their idea of good population was someone who has good physical traits and good mental traits. But of course, there was no idea of a good population means someone who knows the value of life. And Arjuna, he was an Arya Jushtam Asvargyam. Krishna chastised Arjuna. He said, you're speaking like an Aryan. What did he say? In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You're speaking learned words, but you're mourning for what is not worthy of grief. So an Aryan is a person who knows the value of life. Not simply who's someone who comes from Europe or with a certain skin color or whatever. So the Nazis thought they are the Aryans. They are very superior. And they thought, certain people, they're not worthy of living. So this is all based on atheism. Charles Darwin was an atheist, and his cousin was also an atheist. And he came up with this philosophy, with this social movement. But in the Vedic civilization, also good birth was promoted. But mainly what was encouraged was to produce good population who can pass on this culture of Krishna consciousness. That was the whole idea behind the Garbhadhan Samskara. The whole idea is to pass on this culture of Krishna consciousness. And here Prabhupada says, there is no need to check the growth of population if the children are born as human beings with all precautions regarding the birth. So-called birth control is not only vicious but also useless. So we see today there is so much birth control going on in the form of contraceptives. That's the idea behind that is one can enjoy as much as they can, enjoy their senses, without the consequences of sex life. The natural consequence of enjoying sex life is there will be one will give birth. So the demoniac mentality is they want to enjoy without taking responsibility. So then there's contraceptives. But this is artificial birth control. And Prabhupada says that is not only vicious but also useless. So yes, it is very vicious because in the semen of the father is a living entity who is supposed to take birth in that particular womb. But they are denied that opportunity. So therefore it's vicious. And it's also useless because we see it's useless because the population being produced, the children being produced are not of good quality. So it's useless. And here Prabhupada says there's no need to check the growth of population. So if these days they're saying that the problem is overpopulation. No, that's not the problem. There's 7 billion people on the planet. The problem is overpopulation of human beings with bad consciousness. That's the problem. The Mother Earth can support unlimited people. It's not a problem for Mother Earth. If yajna is being performed, then the demigods, they reciprocate and there is no shortage of supply of necessities. We see during the time of the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira, there was no shortage of supply of necessities. There was enough rain, the oceans were producing jewels, the rivers were producing minerals, and it was, grains were being produced. There was no shortage of necessities. It was in abundance. But because of a lack of performance of yajna, then there is scarcity. So, you know, growth of good population is the growth of population. If the children are of good consciousness, that's actually not a problem from the Vedic point of view. So the consciousness of the parents at the time of conception is very important. So depending on what the state of consciousness is at the time of conception, a certain living entity is attracted in the womb. So we see this in the pastime of Kashyapa, Muni and Diti. They conceived at a wrong time and their minds were impure. And because of that, they attracted Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they were Jai and Vijay, who were cursed by the four Kumaras to come down into the material world. So the four Kumaras, they were brahmacharis and they were, you know, young boys. They looked like young boys. And they were naked and they wanted to enter the spiritual world. But they were denied entry by Jai and Vijay. So they thought, you know, they are like kids. They might create disturbance. Like, you know, children in Bhagavatam class, they create disturbance. So Indradyumna Maharaj, I remember, he said, babies are the eternal enemy of the Bhagavatam class speaker. So Jai and Vijay, they stopped the four Kumaras from entering. And the four Kumaras, they got offended and they cursed Jai and Vijay. And Jai and Vijay, they fell down into the material world. So at that time, Diti, she wanted to conceive with Kashyapa. And her consciousness was not pure at that point of time. Because of lusty desires, and the time was not appropriate. So she begged Kashyapa Muni, and Kashyapa Muni, he agreed. And though he knew it was not the right time, and he even told Diti, we will attract the wrong type of living entities. And the result of that conception was Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu took birth. So Prabhupada there, he says in the third canto, 16th chapter, verse 35, I'd like to read you this purport, which is in line with what we're reading today. Here is clear proof of how a living entity coming originally from Vaikuntha Loka is encaged in material elements. The living entity takes shelter within the semen of a father, which is injected within the womb of a mother. And with the help of the mother's emulsified ovum, the living entity grows a particular type of a body. In this connection, it is to be remembered that the mind of Kashyapa Muni was not in order when he conceived the two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, the semen he discharged was simultaneously extremely powerful and mixed with the quality of anger. It is to be concluded that while conceiving a child, one's mind must be very sober and devotional. For this purpose, the Garbhadhan Samskar is recommended in the Vedic scriptures. If the mind of the father is not sober, the semen discharge will not be very good. Thus, the living entity wrapped in the matter produced from the father and mother will be demoniac, like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. The conditions of conception are to be carefully studied. This is a very great science. So it is very important what the consciousness is at the time of conception, at that particular time. Like also it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Yamyam Vapi Smaranam Bhavam Tejanti Ante Kalevaram. So whatever our consciousness is at the time of death, we get a certain body. So yes, we can be practicing Krishna consciousness, going to lectures, kirtans, so many nice programs. But for those who are conceiving, you know, half the audience, they don't have to worry about that here. But it might come in handy if you do change ashram. So, but the consciousness at the time of conception is important. What we are thinking at that particular moment. So simply, if just, you know, sending the child to Gurukul, even send your son to Gurukul or daughter to school, Vedic school, but if the child is not conceived in a proper way, it might not work later. So it's very important, the consciousness at the time of conception. That's what is being stated here. That the mind must be very sober and devotional. And still, sometimes even if the mind of the parents is very sober and devotional at the time of conception, still sometimes the child is not devotional. Because the living entity has free will. And the living entity can misuse the free will. We see Advaita Acharya, he conceived children. And some of them turned out to be Mayavadis. And Advaita Acharya is God. So sometimes even because the living entity has their free will and some of them decide to misuse it. But as a general rule, the consciousness at the time of conception, that matters. So another example of Lord Brahma. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, Text 28, the purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Brahma's constant dropping of his body does not refer to his actually giving up his body. Rather, he suggests that Brahma gave up a particular mentality. We may sometimes be absorbed in some thought which is sinful, but if we give up the sinful thought, it may be said that we give up the body. Brahma's mind was not in correct order when he created the demons. It must have been full of passion because the entire creation was passionate. Therefore, such passionate sons were born. So we know Brahma, he gave birth to passionate sons. So here it's, you know, Srila Sridhar Swami is explaining that he's giving his insight because his mind was not in the right frame of mind. His mind was passionate, therefore he gave birth to such sons. So we can see how the modern society is full of passion and ignorance, because that's the that's the condition of the mind of the parents, and that's what they're giving birth to. But by the performance of Harinam Sankirtan and by the process of devotional service, our consciousness can be purified, and that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. But by taking up the process of Krishna consciousness, by chanting the holy name, engaging in devotional service, by the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, our consciousness is purified. And we can see that in ourselves. At least to some degree, it is purified. And if we continue, it will become more and more purified. Yesterday I was asking Harinam Ananda, what were the highlights of his travels in the past 1 year. And he told me that they were in New York in the subway. They were traveling in a train, and they were performing Harinam on the train in the subway. And people didn't seem to mind. In New York, people like anything different, he was telling. So they didn't seem to mind. They were chanting Hare Krishna on the train. But there was this one person sitting near them, and he got very upset. He got very offended by the chanting of Hare Krishna, and he got very agitated, and he started giving them a hard time. He was calling them bad names and telling them, you know, stop chanting and get off at the next station. And but they kept chanting. Fearlessly they kept chanting. And then he came to them, he said he's going to punch them and if they don't stop chanting. But still they kept chanting. So this devotee who was chanting, then he started going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Chanting very fast. And then after some time, this is like after 15 minutes of continuously chanting, and the whole people in the train, they were just watching, you know, what's going on. And then after some time, there was a smile on his face. There was a big smile on his face. And he started chanting Hare Krishna. And even before, when he was ridiculing the devotees, he was chanting, you know, Krishna, Rama, Hare. He was ridiculing, but he was chanting. But because of this chanting, he got purified, and then there was a big smile, and he started chanting with the devotees. So this is the power of the holy name. And then everyone was impressed what happened, and there was this one person, and he was so happy, and he said, "I can't believe you changed him." And he was running up and down the train and saying, "I can't believe you changed him." So this is the power of the holy name, that someone who's in the mode of passion and ignorance, deep entrenched in the mode of ignorance, they can be transformed by the holy name. So he was a Jagai and a Madai, Jagai or Madai. He was a, you know. In Kali Yuga, there's so many Jagais and Madais. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program was to deliver the Jagais and Madais, but by the chanting of holy names and by widespread distribution of literature. As His Holiness Devamrita Swami was mentioning last week, that we can change the face of the earth by widespread distribution of literature. When people read this literature, that will transform their consciousness. Srila Prabhupada also said, in regards to book distribution, he said, if they read one word, one line, one sentence, their whole life will be changed. So that is the power of Srila Prabhupada's books and the power of the holy name. So another example, Maharaj Priyavrata. Maharaj Priyavrata was a great devotee. He was a pure devotee of the Lord. But his son, Agnidra, he wanted to go to Pitriloka. So it was very amazing that Prabhupada explains in one of the purports that the reason he wanted to go to Maharaj Agnidra, he wanted to go to Pitriloka because at the time of conception, Maharaj Priyavrata was influenced by lusty desires. And that's how Maharaj Agnidra was conceived. And then he, as a result of his consciousness was also, Maharaj Agnidra's consciousness was lusty, therefore had material desires, he wanted to go to Pitriloka instead of going to Vaikuntha Loka. So we see how, just though Maharaj Priyavrata was a pure devotee, but at that point of time, because his consciousness was not pure, this happened. So this is a great science. And this science is lost in Kali Yuga. But in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, Srila Prabhupada, he reinstituted this science of Garbhadhan Samskar. And for those who are in the Grihastha Ashram, this has to be practiced if we want to beget good children. And birth control in the Vedic civilization, in Krishna consciousness, is very simple. Just control the senses. That's how you control. That's how there is birth control. Maharaj Rishabhadev, in the fifth canto, he says, one should beget children. What does it say? Gururna. What's that verse? Yeah. What's the translation of that verse? Yes, one should not become a spiritual master, a father, unless they are deliver their dependents from the cycle of birth and death. So that is the formula of birth control in the Hare Krishna movement. That if we want to procreate, yes, you can procreate, but we have to be qualified to deliver our dependents from the cycle of birth and death. Whereas in the modern conception, the idea behind birth control is external by use of contraceptives or, you know, so many other sinful means. That's how they try to control the birth. And we also see these days they're even doing cloning. Again, that is promotion of living entities with positive traits. So cloning is all about taking the DNA from one living entity and copying that and putting that in the surrogate mother, and as a result, a clone comes out. So that all this is going on. So to conclude, great parentage and noble birth, as Prabhupada said, is valued in connection with the birth of living entities. So any questions or comments? Prahlad, yeah, good question. I was trying to find out this same point, how Hiranyakashipu, he gave birth to Prahlad. I can't remember the details, but maybe someone can add. When he was performing meditation, I think there was a bird there, and the bird was a sage, right? Oh, was Narad Muni. He took the form of a bird and he was glorifying the Lord, right? Where Hiranyakashipu was performing tapasya. And he was speaking the glories of the Lord, and Hiranyakashipu was furious. And he was chasing the bird away, right? And the bird kept coming back, and Narad Muni kept coming back as a bird, and he kept glorifying the Lord. And he was furious. But these glories, they sinked in his consciousness. And when he went home, he was conceiving, he was just thinking of that bird and that the glories. at the time of conception, he was thinking of the glories of the Lord. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj was conceived. Is that right? Is that what happened, right? Yeah. So, Virya, same point. Whatever we think at the time of conception. So, though he was a demon, Hiranyakashipu was a big demon, but he conceived a son like Prahlad, and Prahlad was his favorite of all the sons because Prahlad had such good qualities. And Prahlad, he called his father Asuryavarya, oh best of the demons. Any other quick question? We have a minute. Otherwise, we'll end here. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Rajivan Bhagavatam ki jai.